First Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 11, 12, and 13 for starters, and then we'll move on from there. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that is here. Thank you for allowing us to meet together in your house and to preach your word and to hear your word preached, Father. Really, give me the words to say. Help me to be filled with your Holy Spirit now. Pray that you just make the message clear to the young people. And Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you as their Savior, Father, I pray that they would recognize that they are lost without hope and that they need you, Lord Jesus, to save them. Father, I pray that you bless the message now in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was praying about what to preach on today, I felt like I should preach an encouraging message. For one thing, I myself feel a little in need of encouragement, but I think there might be a few other people that need encouragement too. And there are a lot of things that I could preach on in the Bible that would be encouraging. You know, you could preach on the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the gift of God, and on and on and on and on. But as I was praying about what to preach on and thinking about how to be encouraging, that's not on my phone once, by the way. thinking about our church and our families and the world we live in and what's going on around us, and then thinking about Pastor Mike's messages that he's been the series he's been preaching about Laodicea and the Laodicean church age. The most encouraging thing that I could think of is the thought of being successful at keeping our children out of the devil's hands.
Amen.
Keeping our children out of the devil's hands. You know, we have nearly 50 kids, I think, here at our church. And just imagine that every one of them grows up to be a born-again, Bible-believing, fundamental Christian. Praise the Lord. What a success that would be. Especially with churches all over the place losing their young people one after another when they reach 18, they're gone. Soon after, sometimes. Will we be able to raise our children in such a way that they will learn to be faithful to God in a Laodicean church culture? The only way we will succeed is if our children become established in the faith of the Lord Jesus. And then here in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 3, it says, to the end he may establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. That's what our kids need. They need their hearts to be established. We, each one of us as adults too, need our hearts to be established in the faith. And we see the end result or the final outcome of being established in the faith in that verse. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That's the end result, that our hearts will be established in holiness when Jesus comes for us, whether we die before the rapture or whether we are raptured. When we meet the Lord Jesus, we are established in holiness. He finds us unblameable through the blood of Christ. And because of we are established in the faith and being obedient to him, we are unblameable. That's the end result that being established in the faith does for us. But what does the word establish mean anyway? I'm going to be saying that word a lot. You're going to be hearing that word today. What does it mean, establish? Establish means to be made permanently stable. Permanently stable. To be firmly planted, to be resolutely standing firm. You're not going to move. It means to set solidly, to be unmovable. In our vernacular, we could say to pour it in concrete. It's poured in concrete. It's not going to move. Our hearts are not going to be moved if we are established in the faith. Our hearts are poured in the concrete of the Lord Jesus. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's get some Bible definition here, straight from the Word of God, of what the Bible is talking about when it means being established in the faith. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. I'll wait until you get there. 1 Peter 5, 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Those are all synonyms. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So when the Bible is talking about being established in the faith, it's talking about being made perfect in the faith. It's talking about being strengthened in the faith. It's talking about being settled in the faith. Okay? Now one more verse for definition, say Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2:7. It says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Again, these are synonyms. Rooted and built up in him is the same meaning as established in the faith. All right? So when we talk about being established in the faith this morning, kids, that's what we're talking about. Being rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You're not going to move. You're not going to stray. You're not going to wander away. The Word of God is poured in concrete in your heart. So this morning I'd like to share a list of five truths that I believe we must have established, poured in concrete in our lives as individuals. Whether you're a grown-up, whether you're a child, you need to have these five truths established in your heart. As an individual, and parents, we need to have these truths established in our families. If, number one, we are personally going to be established in the faith, and number two, parents, if our children are going to be established in the faith. We expect that to happen. We're going to need these five truths to be established in our families and in our lives. Now, this is not by any means a thorough list, okay? This is not a thorough list of how to raise godly children. I have a five-year-old. That's my oldest. I'm not here to preach a message about how parents need to raise godly children because I'm still learning. So it's not a thorough list. It's not a thorough list of how to become a mature Christian. But if you ever did preach on one of those, I think these five truths are going to be found somewhere in your message. These five truths, I think, are the most important truths for a person to adopt as fundamental to their faith. As being established in the faith of God. So, first one. Number one, we need to establish the supremacy of God. Establish the supremacy of God in your life, in my life, and over your family, over my family. Establish the supremacy of God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. First of all, what do I mean when I say we need to establish the supremacy of God in my life? First of all, I need to affirm the existence of God. Affirm the existence of God. Isaiah 45, verse 18 says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Look down at verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and and there is none else. Affirm the existence of God in your life. Affirm the supremacy of God in your life. God is God. God created me. God created you. God created everything about you and I. He designed us just the way He wanted us to be designed to be. God is God in my life. Affirm the existence of God and His supremacy in my life. Turn to chapter 46, verse 9. Isaiah 46, 9. I had one chapter. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. There is no other God beside God, Jehovah God. He is the only God. All else are false gods. Affirm the existence of God in my life and in my family, in your life, in your family. If we are going to be established in the faith, God is going to have to be God to us. He's going to have to be the boss. He's going to have to be the ruler of our life. How do you do that? Well, the main way you do that is by Bible reading and Bible teaching. Bible reading and Bible teaching. Read your Bible. Parents, have family devotions with your children. That is how you are going to affirm the existence of God to your family and to yourself. Secondly, establish the supremacy of God in your life. What do I mean by that? Confirm your belief in God. Confirm your belief in God. Make sure that you really believe in God. Make sure that your children know that you, parent, believe in God. Turn to 2 Chronicles 20, 20. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. Belief in God is vital to being established in the faith. And by the way, this message is not for unsaved people. If you are not saved this morning, I'm not talking to you about your faith. You do not have faith if you are unsaved this morning. You need to have faith. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. This message is to Christians. This message is to born-again individuals who have faith. Okay? Your belief in God is vital to being established in the faith. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. We are not going to be established if we don't believe God, if we don't believe what he says, if we don't believe that he is God over our life. Hook that verse up with Isaiah chapter 7. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. Jehoshaphat said, Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9, the scripture says, in Isaiah 7, 9, And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. You have to believe what God says in His Word to be established in the faith. Your children have to know that you believe what God says if you expect your children to become established in the faith. Well, I can affirm the existence of God to myself and to my children by Bible reading and Bible teaching. How do I confirm my belief in God? How do I confirm my belief in God? By prayer. Personal prayer confirms your belief in God. Family prayer confirms your belief in God to your children. Putting your trust in God by prayer, requesting things by faith, is going to tell your children that my dad, my mom, really believes in God. God is real to them. Prayer is going to confirm your belief in God to your children, and to your own heart. And you are going to have to do that to be established in the faith. Thirdly, how do I establish the supremacy of God to me and to my family. Thirdly, verify the authority of God. Verify the authority of God over your life. Now, what is the most visible thing that you and I can do that would prove God has authority over you, over me? I'll ask the question a different way. What action would cause you and those around you to take notice that God is your boss? Well, I believe the main action, the most visible thing that you and I can do that would say to my own soul and to those around me that God is my God, is I'm here in church on Sunday. I'm here in church when the doors are open. I go to church. That tells my own soul that God is my Lord and Master. God said He wants me to be in church when it's church time. And when my family comes along with me, that tells my family, God is our boss. God is the leader of this house. Verify the authority of God over your life. Go to church. Attend church faithfully. That's going to be the biggest thing to your children, parents, that says, God has authority over me. Because my dad obeyed God and took me to church every Sunday. God has had authority over my dad. He thought he had to obey God by going to church. I better obey God. I better obey God. God has authority over me. What is the second thing? The second most visible thing. Now this one is not quite so visible as going to church. But it can be pretty visible to your children, at least, if you do it right. The second most visible thing that we can do to teach our children that God has authority over us. Turn to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. First of all, attend church faithfully. Bring your family to church. That will verify the authority of God over your life. And the second thing is found in Genesis 28. Look at verse 20. And Jacob bowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, he's about to go to Laban, his uncle. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then, notice, then shall the Lord be my God. Then shall the Lord be my God. Notice what he says next. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. Notice, go to church. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth, the tenth unto thee. The second most visible thing that you and I can do is to tithe. Tithe. If God is my boss, I will tithe my money. God owns my money. You and I have to go to church. We have to tithe to verify the authority of God to our soul and to the souls of our children. That's how we establish the supremacy of God over our lives. The second thing, the second most important thing to do to be established in the faith of God. The first one was to establish the supremacy of God over our lives. The second one is to establish the authority of Scripture. Establish the authority of Scripture. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We all know this verse by heart probably, but we should probably look at it. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Verify the author of Scripture. In order to establish the authority of Scripture in our lives, we have to verify the author of Scripture. Who is the author? Who wrote this book anyway? Does it matter who wrote this book? Yes, indeed. If I told you that John Doe wrote this letter to your grandfather 100 years ago, you'd be curious. Well, what did he have to say to my grandfather? If you want to know about your grandfather, you wouldn't care about what John Doe said. You'd want to know what you could learn about your grandfather from that letter. But if I said, Abraham Lincoln wrote this letter to your great-great-grandfather, you would take note of that letter. You would not only want to know what he said to your grandfather, but you would want to know what he said, what Abraham Lincoln said. The author is important. Verify the author of Scripture. Who wrote this book? Well, God wrote this book.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God, the creator of the universe, gave us these words. God, the creator of the universe, the one who holds your life in his hands, told you something. That's important. That's important to know. That's important for your kids to know. Verify the author of Scripture. Excuse me. You see, if we verify the author of Scripture, then the words of Scripture possess the authority of the author. The words of Scripture possess the authority that God has. If God wrote this book has the authority of God. It stands in his stead as what God says. Okay? Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. That's very important because as we go through life and we have a question about a life circumstance, what should I do? Or when our children grow up and they wonder, what should I do? They need to know what God said. What does God say I do? Well, I wish God were here. He is here.
Amen.
Embodied in the book. Amen. Written, what he said you should do is written down in a book. The Holy Bible. Psalm 119, verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Notice verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Who is devoted to thy fear. You see, if we have already established the supremacy of God over our lives, and then we establish the authority of Scripture, and we establish the authority of Scripture by verifying who the author was, God, the same God who is supreme over my life, wrote this book. We are going to take note, and we are going to want his word, as the psalmist says, we are going to agree with the psalmist. We are going to want his word to be established unto me. Establish thy word unto thy servant. Why? Because I fear you, God. Amen. You are supreme. Your words mean something. They're very important to me. Establish the authority of Scripture. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Establish thy word. It's God's word. God's word. God said something to me. God said something to you. We'll sit up and take note when we realize God Almighty wrote the book. And then we need to establish the authority of Scripture in another way. We are to verify the author of Scripture. We are to verify that the words of Scripture possess the authority of the author. And then we need to explain our beliefs and actions with Scripture. When someone asks us, why do you do something? Why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you give out gospel tracts? Why do you share your faith? Why do you wear a dress, ladies? Men, why do you cut your hair short? We need to be able to explain our beliefs and actions by the book. We need to be able to go to the book and says and say, well, I believe what I believe because God said right here, that's what I should do. Establish the authority of Scripture. And that's very important for your children. When your children ask you, why do we do something, Daddy? Why do we do something, Mommy? You and I need to be able to go to the Bible and say, because God said. Because God said we do it that way. Establish the supremacy of God over our life. Establish the authority of Scripture. Thirdly, we need to establish the reasonableness of faith. Establish the reasonableness of faith. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Why do you believe in Jesus? Because it is a reasonable faith. It is a reasonable faith. If it had to be proved in a court of law, the court of law would have to accept the evidence that Jesus did exactly what he said. Jesus paid the sin debt. Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. That would have to be verified in an honest court of law. It is a reasonable faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have not followed these made-up fables, these lies. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were eyewitnesses. Peter says, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus break the loaves with my own eyes. I handed that bread out, and it just kept coming and coming and coming. And the fish didn't stop either. I saw it. There's no way you can tell me that Jesus isn't the Son of God. I witnessed him. Our faith is a reasonable faith. 11 of the 12 apostles went to their death. Horrible death. Because they knew Jesus was the Son of God. They witnessed him. John witnessed him die on the cross. He wasn't going to deny the Son of God. It is a reasonable faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Starting in verse 1, this is the first half of this is one of our memory verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, and keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen. Notice the word seen here. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. That verse is very important, by the way. After that, he was seen of James. Then he was, you can insert the word seen, then he was seen of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Over 500 men saw Jesus resurrected. 500 men knew, men and women, knew 100% sure that Jesus Christ bodily came out of the tomb. And they all were willing to die for that truth. And by the way, if it were a fable, it says here, 500 brethren, some of them are still alive. If it were a fable when Paul wrote this, some of those 500 brethren would have come forward and said, that's a lie, Paul. I was there. It didn't happen like that. But that didn't happen. All of those 500 brethren verified, yes, that's what happened. Jesus came out of the tomb. Jesus is alive. And he ever lived. Establish the reasonableness of faith. Our faith is based on eyewitness accounts. Secondly, our faith is based on the person and character of God. Turn to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. Our faith is based on the person and character of God. Who do we put our faith in? the Lord Almighty, Jesus the Christ. Jeremiah 33, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. We are putting our faith in an omnipotent God. He's all-powerful. We already know that he created the universe. He holds your life in his hands. He holds your heartbeat in his hands. He holds your breath in his hands. That's the God we put our faith in. Our faith is based on the person of God. Turn to, you don't have to turn there for sake of time. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every perfect gift came from the one that we put our faith in. The one whom we put our faith in, there is no shadow of turning. He does not change. He is immutable. That's what we put our faith in. It is a reasonable faith. It is based on the person and character of God. Thirdly, our faith is based on the faithfulness of God. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Our faith is based on the faithfulness of God. The Lord is faithful. You don't have to turn there for sake of time. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Hebrews 6, 13 and 17 and 18. Go there, please. Hebrews 6, 13. The Lord is faithful. If he said he would do something, he will do it. Hebrews 6, 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He made a promise to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I will do it by myself. There was no one greater to swear by. There was no one to co-sign for God. He swore by himself. There was none greater. Verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs the promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we, today, now he's talking, we might have a strong consolation. We might have a strong faith, in other words, because of the immutability of God. He cannot lie. Our faith is based on the faithfulness of God. Isaiah 14, 27, for the Lord of hosts hath purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Establish the reasonableness of faith to your own soul and to the souls of your children. That's number three, how to be established in the faith. Number four, establish the righteousness of God. Establish the righteousness of God. Psalm 71. If we are to be established in the faith, our minds, our hearts need to be settled, poured in concrete, the fact that God is righteous. God is righteous all the time. God is never unrighteous. God never does anything unrighteous. He never would do anything unrighteous to me. Establish the righteousness of God. Psalm 71, 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? You You see, the righteousness of God is the absolute standard. God is perfect. His righteousness is what makes right. And anything that goes against His righteousness is what makes wrong. That's the absolute standard. The law reveals the righteousness of God. The instruction that we have in the Word of God, the Ten Commandments, and all the other commandments and instruction that is found, reveals to us God's righteousness. It is a token, the rules that we are to obey. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. Those rules, those commands, they are a token of the essence of God's holiness. They show us how holy God is. God would never tell a lie. God would never murder. God would never steal. He is absolutely holy. The law reveals the righteousness of God. And because of God's righteousness, we are to allow God to be God in our life. We are to allow God to be God in our life. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Absolutely not. There is no unrighteousness with God. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Because of his righteousness, because of his person, his character, we are to allow God to be God over me, over you. Establish the righteousness of God. God is righteous in everything he does all the time. How do we verify or show that truth to ourselves and to our children? Verify God's righteousness by basing all your standards on provable scripture verses. Verify God's righteousness by basing all your standards on provable scripture verses. There's nothing that you and I should do as a Christian that we cannot, that we should not be able to go back to the Bible and say, young child, my son, my daughter, I do that because it is told to me to do that in the Bible by God. Establish the righteousness of God. Secondly, by submitting, we establish the righteousness of God to our children by submitting and accepting the trials and difficulties that God puts into our life. Without complaining, without saying, God, why are you doing this to me? Our children are watching. Their hearts are being established or not established while life is happening. While you and I get mad at God, it's affecting our child's heart. Accept the trials and difficulties that God puts in our lives. Lastly, how do we establish our own heart in the faith? And how do we establish our children's hearts in the faith? The last point, establish the justice of God. Establish the justice of God. Turn to Psalm chapter 7. Psalm chapter 7. And verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. God is the judge. And he will cause all sins to be judged. Whether it's here on earth or whether it's in heaven at the great white throne or the Bema seat, God will judge all sin. Affirm the truth that because God is infinitely holy and he is infinitely just, he must judge sin. He must judge sin. To be a righteous God, he must judge sin. To be just to those who are wrong, he must judge the wrongdoer. God trieth the hearts and reins. Psalm 7 verse 11 says, God judgeth the righteous. He finds out if a righteous man is truly righteous or not. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Affirm to your children that God will judge your sin. God will judge your sin one day, whether it's during your lifetime or after your death, your sin will be judged. Verify God's judgment by your judging sin in your own life and in your own family. Turn to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos 5, verse 15. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Why did the children of Israel fall away into idolatry? Because there was no judgment at the gate. The gate signified the leaders of the town. The group of men that sat at the gate, they were the leaders of the town. Establish judgment at the gate. If there's going to be an established heart in the faith of God, there's going to have to be judgment for sin. There's going to have to be naming of sin. This is wrong. That is sin. Thou shalt not do that, the Lord God said. Verify God's judgment by judging sin in your own life and in your family. Establish judgment in the gate. It happens with the fathers. The fathers lead. Your faith will be established by establishing judgment, justice, condemning evil in your own life. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. Young people, parents, elders, your faith will be established by establishing judgment in your life. Young person, if you want to grow up to be a godly person, establish judgment in your own life. Acts 16, verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees, the judgments, in other words, the rules. They delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Why do we have young people who grow up in churches and then when they turn 18, they disappear. They fall away. It's because there was not judgment established at that church. Sin was not sin at that church. There was no judgment at the gate. You see, a latest in church culture, like Pastor Mike is preaching about, it's okay if I have an affair. It's okay if I divorce my wife. There's no judgment. There's no sin. Mm-hmm. It's not wrong anymore. It's not sin. we excuse it, or it gets excused in other churches. And so the children grow up. And, well, pastor's divorced.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday school teachers are remarried 2 or 3 times. It's fine. No, it's not. It's sin.
Mm-hmm.
There's no judgment at the gate. Psalm 99, verse 4. You don't need to turn there. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. If you want your life to be established in the faith of the Word of God, you're going to need to establish the supremacy of God over your life. You're going to have to establish the authority of Scripture in your life. You're going to have to establish the righteousness of God. Understand that God is righteous. You're going to have to establish the reasonableness of your faith. It's a reasonable faith. There's a reason why I believe what I believe. And lastly, you will have to establish the justice of God. God will judge my sin.
Amen.
God will judge my sin. If you take these 5 truths, young people, parents, elders, if you take these 5 truths and pour them in concrete in your life, then your faith will be firmly established. Young person, when you grow up, if you have these 5 truths established in your heart, you're not going to turn away from God. You're not going to turn your back on God. If you cling tightly to these truths, you will not walk away from the faith. God. And parents, if we apply these truths to ourselves first, judge my own sin first, and then to our families as a whole, then our children will not become one of the statistics of lost youth, lost out of the church. May we live and work so that our families will be established in the faith. Going back to our text verse, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord.